Shalom Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. The middle wall of separation has come down. The ancient Jewish anointing is pouring into the new covenant Gentile Christian anointing and becoming the full body of Messiah. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. So the question that I posture to you right now is, we read the book, the truth book. Some people call it the Bible. I call it the truth book. We read the truth book. We find what that first church was like. We find out how vibrant it was. We find out the power of God. I mean, as this Jewish fisherman just walks down the street and people get healed from his shadow. A couple of handkerchiefs fall from the body of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, and demons run. Where is that power? What have we lost? Jesus said, I change not. God says, I'm the same forever. So if God hasn't done the changing, who has? One guess, us. What did the first church have that we don't have today? What did they understand that we don't understand today? Well, they were Jewish. And when it even came to things such as communion, because of their Jewish background, because it was actually a Passover Seder, which many people call the Last Supper, but we Jews call it a Passover Seder, there was an insight that over the centuries has been lost. Well, my guest, Anna Mendez Ferro, had a revelation from God about communion that I tell you is such an important missing ingredient. As a matter of fact, on Friday's broadcast, we'll partake in communion, and I want you to have the elements ready, because it will be life-changing. No more ritual. It is reality, not ritual. So my guest, Anna Mendez Ferro, was born in Mexico City and raised Catholic. And when you were 18 years of age, Anna, you had an experience with Jesus. Tell me about that.
I was not even looking for Christ. I was actually studying in an atheist school. So it was the subject was not Jesus Christ. And I was studying for a final examination when suddenly I saw something in the window that caught my attention. And it was a very stormy day in the month of July. And I saw a star shining in the midst of the dark clouds. And it looked so strange to see that vision that I went to the window to see what was going on. And from the star it came a beam of light, and suddenly Jesus was standing, as I am seeing you, in front of me, in the most amazing glory and love, and his grace and his love just threw me to the floor. And he told me, he says, you are going to be my servant, and you will know me, for I am your Lord. And you will be my servant, and you will know me in its due time. And then somehow I was writing what he was saying, and then he left, and I found myself with this paper where I wrote that I was going to be his servant in its due time. And then I was absolutely in love with Christ from that point on.
What does that mean to a woman in Mexico that is Catholic? What did you do with this revelation?
Well, I saw something that I never received from the Catholic Church. In Mexico, the Catholic Church is very ritualistic, mixed with a lot of idolatry.
Right. It's actually a very different than the Catholic Church, say, in North America.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is a mixture of New Age paganism and Christianity. For instance, you told me that witch doctors literally are part of the church.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And witch doctors will go to the Catholic Church, and I'm not saying every Catholic priest is involved in this, but it's very normal to have idolatry to its maximum, people doing all kind of witchcraft within the Catholic Church. I mean, there's the syncretism with the Aztec religion and with the New Age and Santeria from the Caribbean is amazing. So I, even though I was a Catholic, I didn't have an experience with Christ or knew who he was.
But take me to the time you went to this man's house. Maybe you didn't know it. He was a warlock.
Mm-hmm.
But there were all sorts of Christian statues and images. Tell me about that.
From the moment I received this amazing revelation of seeing Christ and knowing he is the Lord, I started to literally tell all my fellow students and friends that I had this revelation and that Jesus was the Lord and we need to seek for him. But there was no way to seek for him except within the Catholic Church. So I started to go to the Catholic Church every day. Had communion, I mean, do everything they say to do in order to find Jesus again. But after 2 years, I was absolutely so dry out in the Catholic Church that I left. So I started to go into the Eastern religions, thinking probably Jesus, if he was not there in the Catholic Church, because at that point, I mean, there were hardly any churches in Mexico. So it's not that I knew about a Christian church. I have never, ever heard such a thing about a Christian church. So it was the Catholicism, and that's it. So I went into the Eastern religions to find for Jesus, but he was not there either. So someone told me, you have to meet an enlightened one. I mean, the way you want to know God, you have to meet an enlightened one. And I said, what is that? And they say, well, someone that knows God in a different way. And they say, where do I find this man? And this person says, well, I know one. And they took me to this high-level warlock that he was a very fascinating person. And his house was filled with all these Catholic idols. So I feel comfortable because mm-hmm. that's what I saw all my life. It was not strange to me. It didn't look like a cultic. It looks like a Catholic church within a room, which was where the warlock was. And we started to talk, and he had a spirit of fascination, so his conversation was very high, and he knew all these mysteries of the universe, and he was, I mean, he was really attractive to listen to. And I said, I want to know God. I want to know Jesus. I had this experience. Can you help me? And he said, yes, of course I can help you. I'm the right person. And he actually opened a Bible in John chapter 3, where it says you have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God.
How counterfeit can you get? I mean, you were in a very difficult situation.
A very difficult situation.
But you thought it was great.
I thought it was great because I didn't have a parameter of truth.
Right.
So I knew, I mean, if you were a Catholic, you can be a good person. And, I mean, the saints were there. The Bible is open. Nothing in the surroundings told me that can be demonic. So he started, I asked the same question as Nicodemus. Of course, he was not leading me to Christ. He was leading me to the depths of the occult in a very twisted way. And I say, what can I do to be born again? And he said, well, we have to give your life to the spirit of death so you will die to everything that is carnal, that is worldly, that is of this material world. And that way your spirit is going to be born into the kingdom of God. Well, that made logic to me. I said, that sounds fantastic. I mean, dying to this materialistic, humanistic world in order to achieve the high levels of the spirit. That sounded great to me. So I accepted to go into a ceremony in which they gave my life to the spirit of death so I could be born again. Instead, I came out totally demon-possessed. And that started my way downhill.
You actually ended up in a mental institution. The mental institutions used to be very bad in the United States. They're probably not so great now, but I would imagine in Mexico they must have been horrific.
Horrific. And we have to understand that mingling with the occult is a very serious thing because people go there thinking, oh, I can get a palm reading, or I can do this, or I can move the Ouija board, and this is just, I don't believe in these things. Well, even if you don't believe in those things, the devil has a hook, and he's after hooking people in their souls. I didn't want to go into that direction, but he deceived me. That's what the devil is, a deceiver. And he will try to deceive you. He disguised himself as an angel of light. And his goal is to destroy you. And that's what he did in my life. He took me downhill until the point that I was so tormented with demonic entities inside of me that I ended in a mental hospital, which was a horrific experience. I actually tried to commit suicide, cut my veins. And actually, it was at that point when I cut my veins that my sister found me. I was bleeding to death. They took me to this mental hospital. First, I had to go through the emergency room because I was dying. And it was in the emergency room that I literally heard the audible voice of God.
What did he say?
He said to me, "Your Father in heaven will not forsake you." And when he said that, a tremendous peace entered my body. I mean, just imagine, I am tormented with demonic forces that are trying to kill me, and that peace was totally supernatural.
If God hadn't intervened in your life, where would you be today?
I will be in hell. I will definitely be in hell. Because even though I had a revelation of Christ doesn't save you. It is following Christ. It is the covenant with Christ. It's the fellowship with Christ that saves the soul.
Anna, at your lowest moment, God sent a minister right into that mental institution. What happened?
He spoke a word of truth because I couldn't make any sense. I totally lost my mind in the mental hospital. But the power of truth came out of that man when he started to speak about Jesus being the way, being the life, being the way to be safe. It was like light coming out of him that hit my mind, and suddenly I got clarity in my mind, and I said, I want to be safe.
Mishpocha, when you hear the power explosion that occurred with Anna, I mean, it affected a number of the other patients in the mental institution. Come on back tomorrow.